Welcome to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Michelle Bishop was with me today filling in for Brandy, and we kicked off the show reacting to the Ricky Stewart suspension and asked you if you thought it was long enough. Plus, where exactly is Isaiah Papali'i going to be playing next year after a fresh twist that he wants to now join the Warriors, potentially? Now, on a Wednesday, it's a 17-man woman game these days. So normally when Brandy's not here on a Wednesday, James Magnusson would step up to the plate. Now, James has got the spicy cough. So he's out. So now we go to our next player on the bench, but you know, would start at any other club in the league, I believe. Michelle Bishop from Channel 7, you know,
Proud to wear the 14.
Yeah, now actually, let's just attack an issue. Currently working out a contract. You did sign a contract with SEN, but you're saying you're going to hold out into the off-season before you actually commit. Is there some dramas there around your contract, Michelle?
Look, let me tell you, I'm just leaving it all to the manager. The manager can work it out. But I hope I've got a smart manager. But hey, how good is it to be at work this morning? It's something Ricky Stewart can't do.
Well, that's right. That would be very interesting. The monitoring of Ricky Stewart. Do they have to actually... Look, well, it is a serious issue. But
very
yes,
serious.
You do make light of it. You wonder how this is going to work. Is there going to be a little undercover agent watching him and, you know, from a distance, stakeout style, saying, just checking to see, do they tap his phone?
I bet you there'll be a few members of the media camping out. That's for sure.
Yeah, but it's interesting, isn't it? Now, okay, so here's why we're talking about this. So just if you're not aware, Ricky Stewart been handed a $25,000 personal fine. So it's not the Canberra Raiders. It's Ricky Stewart being fined $25,000, a one-week suspension, after the NRL yesterday confirmed his punishment over the comments he made in relation to Jamin Salmon after the game on Saturday night. So the fine is a personal fine and can't be paid by the club. He'll be unable to provide direction to his players, coaching staff and officials until 4 p.m. next Tuesday. It means he won't be able to have any say whatsoever over next week's team list, nor around the preparation for the game. Now, you do wonder, so Michelle, but that doesn't mean a player can't call him.
I'd say many players,
if they just want to have a chat. How are you, Ricky? How you doing?
Look, you know. I think that it's a fact that he can't go near the joint, so not to the Centre of Excellence.
Yep,
he obviously won't be allowed at the game, GIO Stadium. But, I guess he can catch up for coffee. There's a little cafe just down the road from GIO Stadium. Maybe a coffee or two there. But, look, he has got three very capable assistants in Mick Crawley, Brett White and Andrew McFadden that will take on the duties. Interesting to see that they're not going to nominate any one person to step up into Sticky's role, which I think is probably a little bit of a sign of respect internally. So those three people, as I said, will share the roles. Even the pre-match and after-match presser, I'm really keen to see who'll get that role. I can't see Mick Crawley being at the after-match presser, so that'll be left to either Brett White or Andrew McFadden. But such a huge game, this one too. It's a must-win against the Dragons.
Look, not that it's not that this is the huge issue, but as a league nerd, as you know, Michelle, years ago, Frank Stanton stepped away from this. I'll have to stand corrected, but Tigers fans would remember Frank Stanton during a season went overseas as an invited guest to the Challenge Cup, which meant he missed a game, missed a whole week of the Balmain Tigers season. In the record books, Keith Barnes came out of being the CEO at the time, or the club secretary, to coach the team.
Vaguely remember this.
Keith Barnes, in the record books, it shows Keith Barnes was, and won, so
coach.
He was 1-1 that season. It goes as a game of his coaching record, and Frank Stanton has one game less in his coaching record. Okay. I just want to know from the league stats, man, we may have to get Wally on the line or a David Middleton. Does Ricky Stewart, the fact that he has nothing to do with the team, this week's game doesn't count towards his overall record?
Well,
is that a fair point?
You're going to get technical.
Well, how can it
is
be
a fair point?
Well, he's not the coach.
But
he's
who's
not
the coach?
He's been banned.
So all of a sudden, Brett White, Andrew McFadden and Mick Crawley become an NRL coach for a couple of
for
hours,
one week.
A few days.
Yes,
one
they
week,
would.
Seven
but
days.
Ricky Stewart can't be credited the game in his thing because he's not coach.
So where does that point go if they win the following week against Newcastle because he can't pick the side?
He's the coach then at the game. At the actual game day, he's the coach.
Yep, you're right.
He's the coach on the game day. So I'm saying that he... he drops out of that because he's by this ban, he's got absolutely nothing to do with the team. Now, Andrew Abdo, CEO of the NRL, spoke yesterday about how they'd reached the punishment. Let's have a listen.
It is completely unacceptable for any person in the game to use language like the language Ricky took used on Saturday. It's unacceptable regardless of the context or the circumstances or any matters that might have occurred of a private nature. It's unacceptable for someone to speak like that. This fine is for Ricky in his personal capacity, which means he has to pay the fine, not the club. A head coach has made inappropriate comments in a public forum. My job is to ensure that the rules are upheld. In this particular case, the rules were breached. We've dealt with it.
Yeah, the Panthers issued a statement yesterday saying they fully supported the punishment and that they believe there is no place in the game for such comments. If you missed our program yesterday, Michelle, our listeners, if they missed the segment with Lee Hadjipantelis, 100% black and white case of defamation. Mm. So, look, I don't know whether Jamin Salmon wants to go down that path, but maybe they... there could be more.
Yeah.
But that's from Lee Hadjipantelis, who obviously knows his stuff. Listened, watched, examined, 100% black and white case. Doors shut. You'd have to reach early settlement. Wouldn't even get to court.
I actually spent a fair few hours out at the foot of the mountains yesterday. Very, very touchy subject. You know, obviously spoke to a few of his teammates, and it's still pretty raw out there. But I will say this morning. I've said it all the way along. He got it wrong in terms of the platform. He did get his emotions get the better of him, and it's hard because I do know Ricky personally, and I know that he is a big family man. And look, as a friend, he got it wrong. The NRL's pointed out that they were inappropriate comments in a public forum. But I do have to ask the question, the fact that he only got a week and a $25,000 fine, that tells me something around the conversation and the background. Obviously, I'm privy to sort of what's gone on, the conversation that he has clearly had to the Integrity Commission. I think it's far more than an incident from 12 years ago and a couple of kids at a footy match. There's obviously a long history. And I think that reflects in the NRL's punishment, the $25,000 fine and the 1 week suspension. But just to lighten things a little bit this morning, because it is quite a serious topic, on Tom Starling and his situation, he's clearly recovered from that kick. He's caught, he was in pain. It was terrible, but he was the centre of attention here and he hasn't even been mentioned.
No, well, please hop it. It was Tom Starling, his orchestra stalls, helicopter glancing blow on the head. I thought it was on the very minor scale if we're just talking football. If that's all that happened and there was no mention after the game, we wouldn't have got a text or call on that incident. It was just so minor. And he copped a fine for it. Now, just some audio out of the Canberra side of things. We have Don Ferner, the CEO of the Raiders. We have Jordan Arapana and Elliot Whitehead speaking yesterday.
He's obviously very disappointed. And he's embarrassed, and he's just going to have to put it behind him and move on, and we'll all support him as an organisation. We've got measures in place to support them, and we'll support him.
As you know, he's come out and apologised, and wishes he hadn't said those things, but look, as a group, we've got to support, and we're just here to play footy and get on with it.
He knows he probably shouldn't have said it in that platform, and he's upset that he let his emotions get better of him, but like I said, as a team, we need to focus on what we need to do this week.
They're well prepared. They spoke there, Jordan Rapina, Elliot Whitehead, the last two voices you hear. Now, do you agree with the punishment? Now that we've had it locked and loaded, has the NRL got the balance right? Personal fine and one game ban. I appreciate what you're saying, Michelle, and we do know what happened 10 years ago of a serious note, but it's 10 years ago. It's outside the boundaries of the NRL. It has nothing. It has precious little to do with the NRL. Jamin Salmon, has he had any contact with Ricky Stewart in the last 10 years? No one's been able to tell me there's been any. And then people push an argument that Ricky's defending his family. But Jamin Salmon, I don't think, was threatening the Ricky Stewart family the other night. I don't think when he's playing
platform.
A game of football representing a rugby league team. So have we got the punishment right? 0457 736 736 on the text, or you can have your say in the McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. I got to say, really, though, there isn't a right or wrong here, because this is it's just extraordinary circumstances. Covered the game for 1,000 years now, never had anything like this.
No.
Was on Jared Waitley's program yesterday. AFL's never had anything like this. I don't think we'll ever have this ever again. So,
big
you know,
lesson.
What is the? I don't know what could possibly be. It's outside football. It's outside rugby league. You know, it was a post match conference talking about Canberra versus Penrith, and that's where we ended up. So, listeners, have your say. 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. By the way, some stats. Would you like a stat, Michelle?
I love a stat. You love a stat.
Well, a fair bit, yes. This is thanks to Rugby League Project on the Canberra Raiders record v the Dragons. Without Ricky as coach, 16 wins, 1 draw, 6 losses for a 69.56% success rate. With Ricky as coach in Canberra v Dragons matches, 5 wins, 7 losses for a 41.67% success rate.
Ricky, get comfortable in your lounge room.
Yeah.
Dragons fans are, yeah, okay. Wow.
Just tell you that. Now, Isaiah Papali'i, did we see this coming? Here we are thinking, all right, Parramatta, Tigers, Concord, Parramatta, Concord, Parramatta.
Yeah. Very messy.
Now there's a little wild card in there. New Zealand, the Warriors. What do you know about this? You got any mail on this? So his partner is a netballer in New Zealand, living in New Zealand.
That's
is that correct?
Has been over there for possibly a 2-year stint now. So yeah, wow. I didn't see this coming, but I suppose when you're exploring all options to get out of a situation that you're clearly unhappy with, I want to know where Andre Ponga is in all of this. And this is the problem.
Sorry.
For Isaiah.
What?
Well, a clause. He should have had a similar clause to Kalen. Like Kalen had every clause known to man in his contract. So clearly, I think his manager's got this one wrong. And if it was all about the coach and he was so focused on playing under Michael Maguire at the West Tigers, it should have been a clause in his contract. Buy beware.
Yeah, look, there was no... There was no mention of the partner there in the interview grab we ran yesterday. They were talking about, I signed with Madge. No mention of the partner. I you know what? I'm going to be accused here of being a really hard ass and no compassion. But I'm having no compassion. Because he signed with Parramatta like 2.5 years ago. Has come over.
Yep.
Then while he's at Parramatta, he has signed with the Tigers. So he knew what he was doing. I'm sorry to be a cynic, but I often find that compassionate grounds comes into the picture when there's also an offer. So I'm going to say, no one will confirm this out of the Warriors, but I think the Warriors have made an approach and you put together the pieces, the rest. Suddenly compassionate grounds, now we can play that card. I reckon the Warriors have seen that there's, he's, why not we have a little crack, a little third party crack. I'm sorry, but rugby league delivers this sort of stuff. Compassionate grounds card gets played when there's already an offer there.
Bossy, if I'm the West Tigers, I don't want a bloke who's going to stand in front of the media and be non-committal. I mean, how does Adam Dewey and Jackson Hastings feel about him lining up, alongside him next season? Jackson Hastings might be a bad example for that because not sure where he's going to be despite contracts. But, I mean, how do the Tigers feel, the players wanting to have a player that's so non-committal? I mean, he's signed a contract.
Michelle, what if the Warriors don't want him? So how does compassionate grounds work? Oh, I want to go back to New Zealand, but the Warriors don't want you. So what are you going to do? Where are you going to play? So I'm saying compassionate grounds comes with there's already an offer. So the Warriors obviously have done a little bit of digging here, and that just reading between the lines, I think this is going to snowball, and then the Tigers' hands are tied. The poor old Tigers get their hands tied. The Parramatta, there's no empathy there at all because they've lost him. They didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, but in terms of...
I can see the Tigers getting it where here.
Well, the legal side of this, if the Tigers stick to their guns, and they're, of course, renowned for that and exploring all their legal options, 1-800-848-848, Brydens, they'll be all over it, reporting back to the board where exactly the Tigers stand on this one.
No, but it's like the mental health card. Once the compassionate ground card has played, the poor old... Well, it's about time the Warriors had one go their way, if you want to argue. There are that many people that, Matt Lodge
That's
and Reece Walsh and Ewan Aitken and all of that didn't realise that New Zealand is actually another country and have pulled out. So maybe this is the universe getting back into alignment and giving the Warriors one back. But have your say on that. Compassionate ground. Are you cynical of this story? 1300 01 1170. Text 0457 736 736. It is, well, yesterday was Team List Tuesday. If you want to buy into the teams and another round of footy, round 22, you can. Now, in tennis, Michelle, Serena Williams, I think this is it.
Yeah.
This is what you read here, that it seems like this is the end.
Yeah, well, she's penned an article in Vogue magazine, and look, it's the most bizarre bit of reading I've done in quite some time, because she's really at pains, really struggling with it. She doesn't want to use the word retirement. She's using it as a transition. She says for her, there's no happiness in the topic at all of retirement. She's obviously been trying to have children. If you read between the lines, she's got a 5-year-old daughter, been trying to have another child over the last 12 months and hasn't had any success with that. So she's kind of, you know, at a crossroads and needs to make a decision, and that's what she wants to do. So, wow, big decision, and it'll be awful for all of us to see her, you know, go off into the distance. But family first, I suppose. And a little 5-year-old daughter's been at her and at her to be, you know, wants to become a big sister. So, you know, that's where she's at.
There you go. All right. And then AFL, we've got a retirement there. Josh Kennedy will be retiring at the end of the season, 16 years in the AFL, 34 years of age, 2012 Premiership player. And just some sad news in the cricketing world overnight with the death of renowned umpire Rudy Kurtzen. The 73-year-old and three other people were killed in a head-on crash in South Africa after returning from a golf weekend. He was famously labelled the slow finger of death during his career. Bill Laurie was commentating one particular slow finger of death decision. Have a listen.
Oh, close, close, close. His hand's moving. It's going. He's given one.
His wow. hand's moving, and up it comes. Rudy Kurtzen. No, but very sad. Tragic circumstances, passing away, age 73, killed in that motor accident. Tributes have poured in from around the world following his death. You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. We took your feedback on the hot topics of this morning, including the Ricky Stewart story. Remember, you can call us anytime on the McDonald Jones open line on 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736.
Yeah, let's go to our open line. We've got Jace from North Parramatta, and this is on the Ricky Stewart punishment. He reckons it's a little bit light, but it's full on that he can't contact anyone. Good morning, Jace.
Jace is our defending Caller of the Month champion too, Michelle. So here we go. We're in the presence of greatness, Jace. Good morning.
Oh, please, please. thank you very much. But morning, Bossy, and morning, Michelle. Yes, I do believe, yeah, it was a little bit light. But at the same time, hearing that Sticky cannot contact any players, any of the staff, like, that's a bit unprecedented. So, you know, I probably would have looked to hope that there was at least 2 or 3 weeks. But that, you know, I'm okay with that. Looking at Jamin Salmon himself and looking at what the future holds for him, especially with the, like, defamation consequences, I don't know if this is wide knowledge, but, you know, Jamin Salmon's actually played every match for the Penrith Panthers.
Correct.
This year.
Yep,
now, I don't think most
start,
people would know
played
that.
Played every game, yep.
Yeah, he hasn't started, but, you know, in the best team in the competition, I don't think most people would have even realised. So he's obviously doing something right at the foot of the mountains for him to be selected every week.
Well, I can tell you this. There's a few clubs that are actually interested in Jamin Salmon moving forward, and one of those clubs in particular is, of course, the Bulldogs.
Oh, right. No, that's great. That's great. No. I'll have to put away Madame Felder's.
Yeah, you'd like to think too. It, look, outside in, I don't know Jamin Salmon at all. Never met Jamin Salmon. Obviously, I've met Ricky Stewart, so I know Ricky. But you'd like to think Jamin Salmon's done a lot of growing up in 10 years. The boy he was, and if he whatever happened, you'd like to think he's done some growing up, and I think a lot of us have.
Yeah. Well, people are entitled to change.
I mean, I said.
We can talk about, I think as recent as 2019, I think he was involved in some sort of drink driving charge. But yeah, you do. You'd like to give people a second chance and hope that they do grow up. Had
drink
nothing.
Driving charge.
His past has had nothing to do with what unfolded on Saturday night.
Raiders have got a few drink drivers there that, you know, Jordan Rapana, Corey Horsbury, they've had a few. So, you know, that does happen. Jace, well done, defending champ. Keep the calls coming. I wonder if anyone could win back-to-back. Could Jace win back-to-back Caller of the Month? It's got nothing to do with the quality of the call, actually. Is it? I don't know. I'm in the leadership group. I don't know how the caller of the month is actually picked. So there you go.
Back to the text line, and I love this guy's way of thinking. There's no name here, but what if Ricky gets a burner phone, like in NCIS, and contacts the players? I like it. I said a
right,
hot phone.
Okay. I don't know how we're going to monitor that. Now, this one. Vossie, clearly you have never been kicked in the dusters. A mere glance in that region makes my eyes water. Todd from Albury. I'm tired of talking about it. Look, if you watch the tackle back, I called the game. It ended up with Jamin Salmon's leg or foot through the legs of Tom Starling, but it was high up in the crotch region. So as the leg was pulled back, it came into contact with the dusters, as Ted has put. And then the other leg comes out, lashes out and gets him in the head. So therefore, there was a penalty on the minor scale. I think it was handled well. It wasn't. I'm not putting it in the dog act category. I think that is way over the top.
Another text, no name in relation to this. If it wasn't too bad, Salmon would fess up on what the issue was all about. And two, if Starling gets off, he doesn't get kicked.
If Starling gets off, he doesn't get kicked. Well, yeah, there's a... Okay, all right. Now, Paul Gallen. Paul Gallen's going to fight both Justin Hodges and Ben Hennett. I'm going to make a comment now.
Hang on, I'm just going
to
yawn.
You're free to do whatever you like, in boxing, and if you want to pay to watch it. But for the sweet science that is boxing, is this one of the low points for boxing that a man
Come
will
on,
fight
I'd
to?
Step into the ring with Ben Hannon after his last effort.
I like Justin, I like Ben, but in the there are a couple of palookas. Here's a text from Dasher 79, reference to Paul Gallant. Commentary of Paul, boxing was a circus. I didn't think so then. Well, I do know. Fighting two people in one night has now proven the commentary right. It is now a circus. It is. I mean, Dasher 79, he might get texter of the month because that's a great text. Michelle, what's your thoughts? How do we take this seriously?
Apologise for yawning. And, yeah, I just don't see... After Ben Hannett's last effort, it doesn't get me excited. Love Paul Gallen. Think he's an absolute champion on and off the field in the boxing ring. But, yeah, it just certainly doesn't get me excited.
Who else would you like? How many should Paul Gallen fight in a night, folks? 1-300-01-1170. Text 0457-736-736. Surely Nate Miles gets a run there somewhere. So he goes on, bang, Paul Gallen, had your problem with Nate Miles, bang, Josh Papalihi, bang, because he had a problem with him, remember, early on. And then Ben Hennett comes out, and then Justin Hodges. How many can Paul Gallen fight in a night? Mm. My name is Earl, I'm going to settle old scores, and I'm going to get it all done and dusted. My final night of boxing, I'm going to fight 15 people.
Dear
Just
oh dear.
One after another. Just line them up. It is a circus. Text, you have got it 100% right, Dasher. It is an absolute circus. Back to the text machine.
Back to the text. Canberra will have the most relaxed and happiest week at training with Ricky Stewart band. That's from Ryan. Ouch, that one hurt.
There is no way Salmon was deliberately trying to kick him. Anyone who's played any level of league knows you fight to get up as quick as possible. Do whatever it takes. This is nothing but Stewart, as usual, being a sore loser. He should have got the book thrown at him. Won't learn at all from this old minibus. Half a coach strikes again. Yes, extraordinary circumstances, but we read the texts as they come in. I don't quite align myself with that viewpoint, but thank you for it.
Steve from Blacktown, maybe Sticky Ruett, sorry. Sticky Ruett.
Sticky Ruett.
Okay. Has created a WhatsApp group for the Raiders squad. I like that one. WhatsApp group. I'd like to be on that group.
So we're just clarifying. So no contact even remotely. So he couldn't, be at McDonald's, sitting there eating a burger and fries. In walks Jack Whiten and Jamal Fogarty, and they're talking tactics at the next table. And Ricky sort of just talking, sitting there by himself, talks out aloud.
It's a big possibility.
Ben Hunt, this is what I would do, and we've got a pressure. He just speaks out aloud.
Mm.
What if Ricky goes down the park and produces a sermon? This is what I would do to beat the Dragons. And he just talks out tactics and just walking through the park at that time, a 17 Raiders players.
Look, it's impossible to police, and, yeah, I can't see it not happening.
One of our listeners says, Vossie, never again I hear you say. NRL to Vossie, challenge accepted. That's true. It'll come. It'll probably happen in 2 weeks. It'll probably happen this weekend. Some coach will snap, but that's rugby league. It's great rugby league areas.
As a Tigers fan, I'm hoping a tweet put out late yesterday by a well-known NRL analyst, in brackets not for me to name, who has a lot of contacts throughout the game, including player managers, is correct. It said not only will Papalihi be at the Tigers next year, but also another top line back rower. P.S. Can you give a shout out to my son, Matt, who has started listening to the show via a podcast? That's Mick from Portland.
Yeah, see, that's what a lot of our listeners do. See, they don't get up early like we do. And I'm not bagging you, Matt. Thank you for listening, Matt. But hey, how about you come and join us at 6?
Like,
get into the live experience. Best part of the day, Matt. But Matt, it's great to have your company on the podcast. But come on, mate, get up early. Just one day in 5, get up and listen to us live at 6 a.m. But we love your support in the program. We know a lot of people listening on the podcast. Bake says, morning, Vossie and Michelle. Surely Brandy v. Cam Smith is on the undercard. Yes. Yes, they wrestle.
Nice.
We have suggested that. These two old blokes having a crack.
No, I'd sit in the audience for that, ringside for that. I'd pay money. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in there. Paul Gallen should fight both at the same time. Barara Brad.
Idea.
Now, that's Barara Brad. You are a budding fighting entrepreneur. He fights both of them, one with a right hand, one with a left. That's great.
I like
that. That's the circus that it is.
Another quick one on the Starling situation. The leg that wasn't between Starling's legs kicks him in the Jats crackers and then again in the head. What have you been watching, Vossie?
Yeah, no, I said it got him in the head. I said glancing in the head as he was trying to free himself. Again, I don't think it was. Yeah, I'm just saying it wasn't a dog act. I'm not putting it in that category. I'm really tired of talking about it. But anyway, Steve Adubbo says, morning, Vossie and Michelle. There are varying degrees to catching one on the Jets crackers. To receive a whack on the angle Starling did, which was up and under, is in the high pain category. You feel like sprung your balls immediately. Spewing your balls.
This is quite an education for me this morning.
I didn't read the text. Then I see the spelling. I think spewing would be spelled S-P-E-W, but it's coming S-P-U. ING. I might just read that text again. Morning, Vossie and Michelle. There are varying degrees to catching one on the Jats crackers. This is from Dr. Steve of Dubbo. To receive a whack on the angle Starling did, which was up and under, is in the high pain category. You feel like spewing your balls immediately. So thank you, Dr. Steve, for that.
I'm hurting for everybody.
Of the incident. Wow, what a start of the day. You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy with Michelle Bishop as co-host today. David Riccio from The Daily Telegraph joined us to give us all the latest NRL headlines.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
Yes, I was a weak-gutted dog. I did, in my uncle's newsagent, I would open all the packs.
Can't believe you did that.
I would take out the cards I want. I sometimes put in doubles back in. I touch the gum and I glued it
back
up with Perkins paste.
Yeah, that's your new nickname, Perkins.
David,
I can't
Riccio.
Believe you publicly told people that.
That's the Daily Telegraph story. That's the lead.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning. Absolutely. I was just taking notes. Good morning, Bichet. Good morning, Vossie.
Morning.
Imagine going to Silverwater for that. What are you in for? Break and enter. What are you in for? Well, I used to get the footy cards out of the pack and glue them back up with Perkins paste.
Sad.
Yeah. Me and Eddie O'Bead sitting there. Anyway, David, we've got some news, have we? Something?
Look, guys, it's going to be interesting to see how, yeah, we've seen very much an unprecedented situation unfold with Ricky Stewart and the suspension handed down by the NRL. I alluded to this on Monday, guys, in relation to the NRL has been considering this form of disciplinary action against coaches for some time now. And I feel as though, you know, now that this has been handed down, we might see the NRL not so apprehensive to hand it down in the future, because they were seriously considering it on another coach earlier this year for comments he made post-match. As I said, I think now that it's been handed out, I honestly believe we'll start to see it become part of normal disciplinary action. And what we'll get, Vossie and Bichot, is commentary and opinion around whether this coach should be stood down for a week after what he said after a match.
Yeah.
We're going to have, I think it's opened a Pandora's box as far as commentary now from fans and broadcasters and commentators talking about whether, using an example, Desi, don't get angry, Des Hasler, should be stood down for a week because of what he said post-match.
Interesting. Very interesting. Poor old West Tigers, Dave. A twist in the Isaiah Papali'i story this morning.
Yeah, look, we know this one's been bubbling along probably since July. Isaiah Papali, cold feet to go to the West Tigers. I don't think this is going to be clarified anytime soon, guys. I honestly don't. I can see Isaiah wanting to play through the final series with Parramatta. And as he's already indicated, make a call later this year. Now, that's an issue for me. If I'm a West Tigers fan, if I'm in West Tigers management, and particularly salary cap roster management, because when I've got Isaiah Papali'i's money sitting in the cap at around 600, I'm starting to think, well, if this guy's not going to give us everything that we need come November, I might as well just go and spend that money, or at least attempt to spend that money now, while the market still has significant players on the market. Yep. I think the Tigers need to dictate their own narrative here.
Yeah, I agree.
In some sense, because by November it's going to be too late as far as quality players on the market is concerned.
100%. Do you share my cynicism that if it's true the Warriors are now in the picture, that that an approach come before the compassionate grounds card is played?
As I said,
what if the Warriors have no room for him, but no compassionate grounds want to go back to New Zealand? What if the Warriors don't want him? Where's he going to play? I'm saying there must, I'm a cynic. I can't go.
Bossy, look, I'll tell you this. The problem is for Isaiah is there's no wiggle room in his current contract to get out of the West Tigers. There's nothing. There's no real reason other than the fact that he signed under Michael Maguire and was hoping to be coached by Michael Maguire. Now that's not going to happen. Under the terms of a contract, you can't get out of a contract because the coach has changed. However, you can get out of a contract on the grounds of compassionate grounds, personal reasons. And the only reason the Warriors would come into play is because Isaiah says, look, I need to get back to New Zealand for family reasons. And then there would be wiggle room in the contract. I think the Warriors are throwing a Hail Mary. I really do. Yeah. They're throwing a Hail Mary and hoping that's a possibility. When the truth of the matter is, he simply wants to stay at Parramatta and get out of the West Tigers deal. That's the cut.
I go back to your original point. If I'm the West Tigers, I don't want a bloke who's going to stand in front of the media and you know, fans and be non-committal. I think it's up to the Tigers to take a stance here.
Yeah, one of our listeners says, David, Warriors have leaked players on compassionate grounds for the last 3 years. Can't it go both ways? That Vossie, and that's right. I said it'd just be, it's one back for the Warriors. Lodge, Aitken, Riley, all these people. So if that does eventuate, how can you hold a grudge against the Warriors? You've got some breaking news on Wade Graham this morning from the Sharks. Breaking news.
Yeah, significant. Yeah, look, it's interesting because Wade Graham's off contract down at the Sharks, and we know that he's had the history with the head knocks he had, and then suffered an ankle injury in a trial match. It kept him, it slowed his start to the season. He's been warming to his task, I believe, strongly. In the last few weeks, certainly last week against the Dragons, Wade Graham was shades of his former self. And I can tell you that he's very, very close to re-signing for at least another 12 months at the Cronulla Sharks. Now, that would take him to a 16th NRL season. I've spoken to Wade about this next phase of his career, and as I said, I expect him to re-sign at the Sharks for another year. But then, guys, Wade is deeply interested in going into that coaching sphere. Now, if you break that down, you know, when you're making your debut at the age of 17, I think you're wired a bit differently to most rugby league players. Like you certainly see the game differently. You play the game differently. You're certainly a talented individual to be making a debut at the age of 17, and that has stayed with Wade. I understand he's, you know, Craig Fitzgibbon calls him like a second coach on the field at the moment, and I wouldn't be shocked, guys. I wouldn't be shocked to see with the new NRLW Sharks team coming in next year, that might be a stepping stone for Wade
Wow.
To commence that coaching process.
There we go. Good mail there. Now, just a couple of texts to finish for you, David. Let me throw these at you. Yeah. Blake says, morning, Vossi and Michelle. Can you ask David DiRicchio, is there a gig he won't pass up? Apart from appearing on your show, I've seen him or heard him on the Sunday Footy Show, NRL 360, radio stations, Matty John Show on Friday. He is everywhere at the moment. Is
a wanted that man.
Chasing the dollar? Yeah.
I'm just trying to put the kids through school, Vossi and Bisho.
Share the love.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
with that, giving a bit Eddie of yourself everywhere. For everybody.
I would like to say to the caller, in this industry, I could be gone tomorrow.
Right. And this one for so the Black Star Peel. David, you do appreciate the text line could be a nasty place. Can I ask you that? You do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Let's bring it on.
All right. Then if David Riccio and Michael Carayannis keep going on 360, is there any chance they can shift the camera angle away from behind them? The glare off the Devon doesn't translate well at home on the big screen. Can there be something done about that when they take the camera around the back?
I'm in the seat that carries the aerial shot. What's that camera?
The jib camera. Yeah, the jib.
Oh, it's terrible. I'm with you, mate. I'm with you there.
David, you do know you can get paint for the scalp. You can get paint for the hair.
I was going to say, most of us seem to have a little powder. So anytime you're on the road, I might give you a lend of mine.
Yeah, powder. Yeah. No, there's nothing you can do, Bisho, to be honest. Look,
Carl Stefanovic paints his hair. Pretty sure he gets the spray can out and paints it. So
I might just whack some headgear on.
Headgear, that'd be nice. David, thanks for the cross and the news and the story on Wade Graham. Very interesting indeed. David Riccio, one of the best in the business, and we're lucky to have him on our program. We'll follow your stories on the Telegraph website today.
Thank you,
guys. Go well.
You're listening to the best of Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy. Michelle Bishop in for Brandy today. Jared Waitley spoke with us on some of the big topics of the week, including Sydney Swan star Josh Kennedy announcing his retirement. We asked Jared if the AFL have ever seen an incident like Ricky Stewart's from the weekend in the NRL. Part of the program on a Wednesday morning at 10 after 8. I can't say you head south because we've got listeners everywhere. Got a lot of listeners in Victoria. No, we just bring on the man who is broadcasting between 9 and 12 on SEN out of Victoria, Mr. Jared Waitley. Crowd goes up. Welcome to the show, Jared.
Good morning. Vossi,
Michelle, hello.
Hello.
Were you a collector, Jared? We got into the talk of footy cards, and AFL, of course, have some great cards and some great photos over the years on the cards. Were you a collector
as
a kid?
Please don't tell us stamps, or I'll leave.
No, footy cards was a big part. So Dad had a collection of footy cards that he passed on to me. So I had a lot from the 70s, I reckon, and then I would have been, or maybe the 60s, and then I was collecting heavily when I was a kid through the 80s. Mm. But the ones I collected, the original Star Wars figures. And then in the great tragedy of my childhood, we had a garage sale when I got old enough that I didn't want them anymore and sold them. And there went my superannuation. So I presume somebody paid $200, which I would have been so happy about at the time, only to realize a little bit later on, or a lot later on, that was actually second mortgages and superannuation.
Yeah, yeah.
Just walked out the garage that day.
People may think you're being flippant. No, that's bloody true. How much I gave for my Pokemon cards and things like that and things you had.
Yeah, I had all bar one from my childhood. So I do lament that from time to time.
This is totally without notice. Like some of the AFL footy cards I've seen, the players can look like serial killers. They're caught in there. Like this would be the photo if they're convicted on a drug thing in Thailand or something. But we had a famous photo on one of our cards that was mass-produced, Gary Jack, with one of our great fullbacks for Balmain, New South Wales, Australia. And somehow the photo of him that got printed in big numbers had his entire lunchbox out of the pants.
Oh, good Lord.
Which was pretty incredible.
That would
incredible
have been traumatic
moment.
For a kid to get that card.
Yeah, that's right, to get the Gary Jack schlong card. Do you have anything like that, Jared, off the top of your head? Can you think of?
No? It puts Michael Jordan's rookie card into perspective, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
All right. Now, AFL news. We have the great Josh Kennedy yesterday announcing his retirement. Well, we've got some audio of Josh speaking yesterday. First of all, 34 years of age. He will retire at the end of the season. Here's Josh.
I think just the overarching sentiment that I want to leave is one of gratitude and how grateful I am to both Alistair Clarkson and Hawthorne for giving me the opportunity initially and then the Sydney Swans for believing in me.
All right, a word of tribute to the career of Josh Kennedy ahead of him retiring at the end of the season, Jared.
Wonderful competitor, brilliant career, highlighted by his performances in finals. So when the stakes were at their highest, that's when Kennedy was at his committed best. His is one of the most famous names in the sport of Aussie rules. His grandfather is a legend in the Hall of Fame. His father was a multiple premiership player at Hawthorn. He was destined for a career at the Hawks, but he arrived at a moment where there were a glut of midfielders and they were about to, well, they were embarking on their era of success. So it was a big deal when he moved to Sydney, and he has forged a legacy of his own and at that club. You think back to his premiership in 2012, but his performances in losing grand finals, for a while he looked like he was single-handedly going to beat the Bulldogs in 2016. And they went under that day, not for his lack of trying. So, yeah, one of the great competitors, a true warrior of the sport, so fondly thought of by, like, John Longmire's tears yesterday said an awful lot. So Kennedy was battling to hold it together, but the emotions overwhelmed the coach in front of the group. So I reckon that's a pretty good sign of a player who meant so much to a coach.
Yeah, I love the fact that he had those private moments too with John Longmire. Moving on to the NRL and coaches going outside the parameters of the game at press conferences. You'd have to be living under a rock if you haven't heard Ricky Stewart's brutal verbal attack on a Penrith player, Jamin Salmon. He's been fined $25,000 and suspended for one match, not allowed anywhere near training, not allowed at the game. Have you seen anything like this in AFL?
Not to that extreme, Michelle, and not for the first time. We nod to the NRL for their capacity to ratchet up beyond
leading
anything
the way
that you would imagine would be predictable. So there are two that come to mind recently. So at the start of the year, Luke Beveridge, the Bulldogs premiership coach, attacked a journalist at a press conference after round one, which was really unsavoury and required action from the club, demanded by the league, but from the club. So that was a formal apology and a charity donation. So essentially a fine in the magnitude of what Ricky's just got, but not a suspension. And then about 20 years ago, Kevin Sheedy at quarter time one night of a game, Essendon and West Coast, he had seen something that he didn't like from an opposition player named Mitchell White, and he walked down to the huddle and singled out White from a distance and made a throat-slitting gesture, which had him go before. It was either the commission or the tribunal and a substantial fine. And that wounded Sheedy, he I think, still carries a grudge toward the AFL for the action that was taken. But again, not a suspension and not as frontal as what
we got it all over you, haven't we, Jed? Really, yeah, and I'm saying we in the capacity of rugby league, back to the days of Bob Fulton, who was one of our immortals, but as a coach, you know, he famously went up to Bill Harrigan at half time and said, "I'm going to run you over with a cement truck." So, yeah, but it's putting a bit of pressure on a referee at half time. There's a famous photo where he is dead set giving Mick Stone, one of our leading referees at the time, a gobful, like, I'm talking centimetres away from his face, either that's half time or full time in the huddle. Yeah. So we got it all over you guys. You got nothing.
I would say yours is a more frontal sport, both in the way that it is played and the way that it plays out. I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, well, you got some catching up to do. I'm just saying. you got some catching up to do. We're leaders in so many areas, the rugby league. Not all of them, you know, what you want to be proud of, but
no,
there we go.
No. Yes, you can take it further than would be imagined.
And we want to ask you about Cameron Smith's $100 million LIV Golf defection. Well, we can't say we didn't see this coming.
No, we've moved from the theoretical to the reality this morning. So the report is out of the Telegraph in the UK that he has formally signed a deal worth more than $100 million. This is playing out right now in Memphis. So he's there in the lead up to the FedEx Cup playoff. His pre-tournament press conference is scheduled within this hour. He won't, for legal reasons, we don't think, be able to confirm or answer questions about it. But that is going to be a packed press conference. He's the number two in the world, and he's just won the British Open. So this is a major international coup for LIV. I do think it changes the paradigm entirely for Australian sports fans. So there is a bit of are we going with Smith to LIV here? Because the USPGA has been a tyrant in international golf, and it has crushed what used to be a charming summer of golf here. We shouldn't feel any affection or loyalty toward the PGA. Liv comes with the moral challenges around the Saudi money and the human rights breaches that are graphic from that country. The possibilities for Liv are tournaments in Australia with what is becoming a deep roster of the world's best players, potentially Sydney in April. Smith is due to play two tournaments here at the end of the year, that Heroes Homecoming, the lap of honour. Does the Australian public still feel the same way toward him that we did on the morning that he won the Claret Jug? This is such an interesting moment for each and every Australian sports fan. Is this the moment where Fox Sports goes and buys rights to these live tournaments, which have operated in relative anonymity here so far, just on YouTube? Is it going to become more of a staple than watching the PGA tournament on a Monday morning? Fascinating, because he won't be the only one. Mark Leishman is clearly going to join him as well, and perhaps Adam Scott.
I know we've been this ground before, but I'm not a fan of 54-hole tournaments. I don't think it's ever going to get me 54. Been, you know, born, bred 72. That's what it's always been. And the team element, zero interest. I know it's going to be a really hard sell to make me think there's anything in this I'm going to back, you know, get on board with a team, the Niblicks or whatever.
I just love the fact that someone's taking the PGA Tour on. I mean, you know, you look back, Adam Scott was first sounded out about this back in 2017, and the PGA just ignored it, did nothing to stop it, and that just reeks of arrogance.
Yeah, it has been a horrendously arrogant organisation that is now facing a challenge that it is ill-equipped for. I think, Vossi, that the golf itself will evolve now that they are building such a strong roster, is why the need to have the team aspect to it. I think that was probably a cover while they tried to work out, well, who are we going to get here and how are we going to generate interest? They're pretty well on the cusp of what would you say, 30 golfers to create a competitive field every time they play. So I wonder if that evolves. There are some clever aspects to it, I think. The shotgun start is very attractive. The containing to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think, has, but the 54 hole against the 72. Yeah, will they go to 72? Will they create their sort of own prestige tournaments?
I'm just doing that. They'll have to change. They have to be LXXII, which is very hard to say if they become LXXII.
So it's so. I think this is. It's a really interesting watch, and so how many of us watch Smith week to week on the PGA tournaments? Or so I'm in this camp. I watch him at the four majors, obsessively, but I don't watch him the rest of the time. I'll have the golf on a Monday morning if there's an Australian in contention, knowing that we're going to be talking about it. But no other, not really any other time other than the majors.
Very good thoughts, as always, Jared. You've got a big show coming up again between 9 and 12, and we'll chat again next week, mate. But as I said, AFL, get your act together. Come on. you're just not in the race. You're not on the podium when it comes to scandals. You think you are, but you're nowhere near rugby league. Rugby league's got 1, 2, and 3.
We're just the straighty 180s here.
Yeah, there we go. Get a plate of vape in the toilet cubicle at halftime or something, and then we'll start talking for real. Well, this is an exclusive. It is Vossi and Michelle Bishop this morning. We've been talking footy cards all morning. The Adelaide Dragon raised the card, which was a sticker of Gary Jack from the years gone by, that unfortunately was produced in mass numbers, and had his lunchbox, the whole bag and the whole set was showing. Gary Jack is on the line, former Tiger, New South Wales Australian great, jumping Gary Jack. Gary, welcome to the program.
G'day, Andrew. G'day, Michelle.
Good morning.
You're a bit nervous. Morning, Michelle.
I must confess, I had the legit card. I never saw this sticker, or I was never lucky enough to get this one. But when did you first learn that we were seeing more of you on some type of footy card or sticker?
When I'd walk out of the dressing shed at Leichhardt Oval, there'd be lots of kids there wanting to get their footy card signed. And I started to sign one day, and the kids started laughing. There was about three or four of them. They started giggling and pointing it at a card, and they're pointing at that part of my appendage. And that's when I first found out. Then I found out it was three Wayne Pearce cards for one of my cards. So that was pretty good from the swaps.
Right. Because of this unique aspect to the card, it was that much sought
because
after.
Because it was unique. Correct. It was a much sought after card by the kids. And It took three Wayne Pearce to get one of mine.
What did you? What did your family say?
Oh, I didn't really show mum. I didn't really talk about it with my mum or dad. That's for sure.
But surely mum was collecting the cards. She probably just didn't listen to great detail.
I think it was the Scanlon's footy card. And the way the picture was taken, it looked like it was a fist. It looked like it was a closed fist. And that's how it got through without anyone picking up on it. You couldn't actually see everything. You could only see part of it. So it looked like a closed fist as someone was tackling me. So that's how it slipped through. And I've had kids come up to you now, even 40 years later, and they've blown that little card up to like an A3 size. And they've said, can you please sign this for me, please?
Were you wearing speedos on the day under the shorts, Gary, or were you?
That's a good question. Yes, no, I was definitely wearing something, but obviously, I think I was wearing underpants back in those days, and they were very loose.
Clearly,
yes. So that was a big mistake. It was a big mistake.
Wow.
But I did receive an undisclosed amount of compensation from Scanlon's. I will say that. I won't say what it is. But it was significant.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question. What's it worth?
Well, that's
wasn't that significant.
Oh, dear. I want to boost the price up.
I've even had kids come up to me and say that was their first introduction to sexuality, that picture.
Wow. Wow.
This is an incredible story.
Everywhere. It's incredible.
Gary.
We were playing West at the day when it happened.
Yeah, right. So the card, but just for the record, are you aware of the distribution? Are we talking there were 10,000 of these, 20,000?
No idea.
Well, would it surprise you if I said, I'm just logging onto eBay now. Charlie Goodsu, Charlie, who works with our show. We believe your card is worth $1,500 with your Jats Cracker balls, the whole bag out. $1,500
Really?
If you've got one. Yeah, well, that's
he's going to the cupboard now, getting out the stash.
You can pick him up on eBay for about $5.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing that over time, your appendage is appreciated in value.
Must get paid by the inch.
Oh,
where's this going, this interview? Oh, Gary Jack. No, look, it's all true. The Adelaide Dragon... You're one of the best blokes I've ever met in rugby league, Gary. And it's almost to the point this could only happen to you that this card happened. It'd be nice to know that you're remembered for all those great games for the Tigers, the Magpies before that, New South Wales and Australia. But here we are today, August 10, 2022, and we're talking about your ball sack on a footy card.
Yeah. And I was quite a shy young fella too, so it took me a long time to get over that. It put me back a few years. I lacked a bit of confidence from there.
Wow. Well, it's been very ballsy of you to come on the program this morning and share this
with us. Nice ending. Gary, we seek the truth, and we have sought the truth today, and you have backed it up 100%. Gary, we apologise on behalf of everyone for what you've been through. It's obviously been a very testy time.
I hope you weren't scarred as a young fella, Andrew, when you were growing through puberty as well. I hope you got through it okay.
Yeah, we put that story in the bag. Any other lines people want to come up with? Gary Jack and the famous footy art. Gary, thank you for coming on, mate.
You're welcome. Anytime, buddy. See ya.
Vossi and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.